Welcome to Ruby Riders Pegging Paradise podcast number 72 on December 14th, 2013. You guys have been waiting a long time for this podcast, and I apologize. Sometimes life interferes, and this time it did. And here I am, and I know there's a number of you that have really been waiting for this podcast for a whole bunch of different reasons. So let's get going here. Here's the first one. My name is Tim, and my wife is Stephanie. Feel free to use our first names. I'm not worried about anyone recognizing us, because if they are listening to your show, they are probably interested in pegging also. I think it would be great to be able to talk about this subject openly with other people we know. So maybe you can be our icebreaker. Thank you so much for what you do. My wife and I just love listening to your podcast. We are very new to pegging. However, I am in no way new to anal pleasures. I am bisexual and discovered how pleasurable it can be when I was very young. I am now in my mid-40s. You and your podcast have helped us to have a much more open dialogue on my bisexuality and my desire to be pegged by my wife. We have only tried pegging once so far. The harness we used, Vaculock, I believe, caused her quite a bit of discomfort. We believe it was due to the small plastic base sewn into the harness. She felt bruised afterwards. We thought a harness that distributed the pressure across a wider surface area might help, possibly one made with thick or stiff leather. Since we started listening to your wonderfully informative show, we have considered one of the double-ended toys and an O-ring type harness you have recommended. However, we are not certain that is a viable option due to scar tissue from endometriosis and a hysterectomy that she had about 5 years ago. Penetration is painful beyond 4 to 5 inches deep. We are hoping you can recommend a harness and toy that may be more comfortable for her. Thank you so much for educating us on the subject of toxic toys. We now only have pure silicone, Enjoy stainless steel, and Pyrex glass toys in our arsenal. We would also be interested in purchasing your classes, either video or audio, although a webinar would be great for the live interaction. Here's hoping you have a very productive conference, and also please don't forget to enjoy yourself while you are there. From the bottom of my heart, truly, thank you for all that you do for your audience. You are a joy. Okay, Tim and Stephanie, thank you so much for this letter. And as you may have gathered, listeners, Tim and Stephanie were so kind as to send in a donation. And we'll talk more about that at the end of the podcast when I list all the donations from all of you amazingly generous people. So, Tim and Stephanie, thank you for the letter as well. This is awesome. I love your idea of me being the icebreaker, and you know, I would have to agree with you. If people hear the names Tim and Stephanie and go, those are those people that we know, and it's, you know, it sounds like their story, or maybe it's them. Well, yeah, they're on my website, and they're looking at all this, and they're on listening to my podcast, so I totally agree. I think it's an excellent icebreaker. And I think that it would be awesome if people relaxed a little bit more about that, like you guys do, and know that there's other people out there that love this too, and you don't have to hide it from everybody. You just have to be selective about who you expose it to, which in this circumstance, that's exactly what you're doing. In your letter, you mentioned that my podcast has helped you guys to have a much more open dialogue about your sexuality, Tim. And that feels so good to me, and here's why. At the beginning of my journey with this blog, one of the most strong misconceptions that I was dealing with is that men who enjoy this are homosexual. So it was really, really hard to do to find my way to dispel that myth. And in the beginning, what I did was I countered it all the time by saying no, no, no. And I was so adamant about it that I realized, and I've said this before in other podcasts, that I didn't leave any room for any of the bisexual guys. And as you all know, a while back I did a bisexual podcast, which was awesome. There was so much response to that it really opened my eyes quite a bit to the need for it, to how in the beginning I really was blind to that side of things. And I was looking at things rather black and white. So to hear you say that that's helped you have a much more open dialogue to your bisexuality really warmed my heart and is just awesome to hear. That's exactly what I've been hoping for. I'm so pleased to hear that. Thank you for telling me. Now on to the pegging adventures. You've tried it once and the harness you used was a Vaculock. I'm not real thrilled about Vaculocks, mostly because they're really limiting in terms of what kind of attachments you can put on them. But I hadn't realized that there was an additional potential flaw, is really what I would call it, with the piece of plastic that the base sewn into the harness that would bruise. Now, of course, the bruise or the lack thereof is very dependent on how that harness fits. So not knowing which harness it is or how those fit, because I've never bought one, what it sounds like, obviously, is that this harness was fitting her too high, because when it's too high, that's when it's pressing against your pubic bone, and that's when it can bruise you, absolutely. So let's see. A harness that distributed the pressure across a wider surface area might help. Absolutely, and, you know, I would have to say that a dildo that is double-sided might help as well. I have had experiences of being bruised or feeling too much pressure to the point where it feels like it was going to cause a bruise, even when the harness was positioned really, really well, from a flare-based single dildo. When I had a really intensely enthusiastic partner who would back up against it or push very hard against me, and then that would easily cause a bruise. Well, you know, I don't mean to say easily. That's not true. It's just that it seems like there's no way to completely avoid any bruising or any possibility of it whatsoever if you have a flare-based dildo, even if you have something that's better made than this one that you described, which is the Vaculock that's got that hard base. Even if the bases are softer, it's still a possibility depending on how enthusiastic your partner is. This is what I found out. If anybody out there has a different experience, please let me know. But I've done a bit of puzzling out the whole bruising thing. And the double, I believe, is what really makes the difference. Now, you go on to say that it may not be a good idea for Stephanie to be having the double because of surgery, hysterectomy, and 4 to 5 inches. So I took a look at my article that has the information about the doubles and found out, let's see, we've got the share, the Fun Factory share. The bulb on the end of that that fits inside her is 3.5 inches long. The Fieldo and Realdo, they don't have any measurements, but it looks like it's small enough in comparison to the other toys. And then the Tango, which is my favorite, is pushing your envelope just a little bit at 4.5 inches. So it depends. Certainly you'd want to get something that is comfortable for her. I totally get that. And the share sounds like it might be the best choice simply because it's shortest. If you find any websites I didn't do a search, I have to admit, I didn't do a search on the internet, because I'm sure that there is somewhere on the internet where someone has taken the time to list down the exact measurements of the Fieldo and the Realdo. I find sometimes that manufacturers' websites are not as specific and information-rich as the retailers who sell them sometimes. The retailers who sell them have rules of making sure that all the measurements are right there for their customers, which is awesome. I did not do a search on the Fieldo Realdo to see if I could find out those measurements, but I'm sure that you probably could. It looks like it might be a pretty good fit. And obviously the Share is a pretty good toy as well. The downsides, and it's not for every single person, but the complaints that I've heard in the reviews for both of those toys, for the Fieldo, I have heard that it is a little bit too rigid for some people. Most of the time, it is the man who is complaining about that. But considering your wife's situation, she might be concerned about that. Well, maybe something a little bit more flexible or softer feeling would be good for her inside. And then The only complaints I know about the share are that there is no vibe option, as well as it tends to be a bit floppy. So that connection point between the bulb and the dildo itself tends to be a little bit floppy and not hold it up quite well enough. And some people really don't like that. Some people don't seem to have a problem with it. So I want you to go into the purchasing situation with your eyes wide open, that these are some of the complaints they have. Also, the Fieldo Realdo has been said to have been created for lesbian strap-on sex, and that the angle for pegging is not optimum. So that's all the information I have about those. You guys are going to have to talk about it and decide for yourselves. I love the use of the word arsenal. That's awesome. And I'm glad I could help you out with the whole toxic toy thing, and that your arsenal is now all safe and body safe and non-toxic. Thanks for the comment about my classes. That is definitely slated to happen before too long, is recording a class and putting it up for download for everybody who is not in my area, because I get that. You know, there's a lot of you guys out there who would love to watch a basic class and an advanced class, and so I plan to have those up, goodness, as soon as possible, but there's a lot going on right now. Thanks for writing in. Okay, next letter. I listened to the Sex Nerd Sonder podcast that you were on about pegging. I was really taken with your confidence and experience, and I feel comfortable reaching out. A little background. I am a humosexual male, Kinsey Scale 3, if you will, who has dated mostly women, but sexually been with equal parts men and women. 1 3-year relationship with a woman and 1 3-year relationship with a man. Right down the middle in all romantic sexual experience up to this point. 3 years ago, I encountered pegging with a coworker, a lesbian, who was interested in male humiliation. I agreed to come into bed with she and her partner for a pegging session, and I loved it. I had chosen to be with men because I love prostate stimulation and anal play, but didn't think that was really possible with women based on my long-term relationship with the woman I mentioned, thinking it was queer and dirty. So I'd date women and love it, and then at a point feel dissatisfied, frustrated, and even aggressive sometimes, and jump over to men for a while. And honestly, I felt disgusting when I was with men. Penetrating anally is one of the most no-erotic experiences I have ever had. I chalk this up to my American neurosis about men who sex with men and not wanting to be a cliché. I'm a professional dancer. I dismissed a feeling of disgust and suffered through sexual experiences with men for nearly a decade. That is how deeply I crave anal play and prostate orgasmic experiences. So, I actually lived at a Buddhist monastery and practiced the monastic precepts. I needed to do some healing and reflecting, and so I retreated into the woods and lived a life of celibacy and poverty. I healed some old wounds and untied some psychosexual knots, among other things. I disrobed back in September and have been reintegrated into the lay world. Turns out I'm a man who likes lady bits and really likes it in the butt, but doesn't like dick. Took 10 years, robes, and precepts to figure it out. But I'm glad I'm still young and know what I need to feel really satisfied. Some people never figure it out, right? Well, now I'm with a woman I feel really deeply connected with, spiritually and sexually. We are in a committed relationship, though it is new. I don't want to get to the place where I feel frustrated again. So I want to lay my cards on the table and ask for what I want, and I'm being patient. She is queer as well, so I have shared with her my past with men, and she is comfortable with that history. But the conversation about anal play has a different dimension when your partner knows you've been with men. The "so are you gay?" question is much more loaded, and at least in her mind, substantiated. Even as open-minded as we are, there are some insecurities around not having the clear security of a heteronormative binary experience. Inviting toys into the mix is an extra layer that doesn't have the same anchors a typical heterosexual relationship would otherwise have built in. I've shared with her why I no longer date men and how I'm only interested in dating women. I've assured her of my commitment to her and our shared spiritual and erotic experience. all the while I've been laying the foundation for the steps to anal play. Though I'm jumping into the deep end, I think I'm jumping from a good platform and have the skillful means to really swim through these waters. But I wanted to check in with you and seek out your expertise. Are there any red flags here that I'm not seeing? Do you have some extended advice beyond what is outlined on Pegging 101 for me? This ended up being longer than I anticipated writing, but there it is. Thank you for sharing on Sex Nerd Sandra, and thank you for your efforts on these websites. Keep up the great work offering avenues to something that has a lot of taboo in its way. Initially, the first thing I have to say is that I'm absolutely fascinated by your journey, that you spent equal time with men and women, and that it took all of that to finally figure out which side of the fence that you found the most satisfaction in being on. It's just very, very interesting journey. Really appreciate you telling the story. And to hear it sort of distilled down to this one sentence, which I love, turns out I'm a man who likes lady bits and really likes it in the butt, but doesn't like dick. That's awesome. That's just so well expressed. And yeah, after 10 years, finding that out, that's got to feel good. I mean, it took me three decades to finally take a deep breath and let out my kinks. So good for you, sir. Good for you. So, okay, moving on to this new relationship that you have. Let's see here. I'm assuming that in your conversations with her, because you mention that you have told her about your past with men and she's comfortable with that history, that you got detailed about it and told her about those swings where you actually had to fight off sort of being disgusted a little bit and that you finally figured everything out. I'm assuming that you went into a little bit of detail about how being with men was never really quite comfortable for you, and then being with just women wasn't, and the reasons why, because you so clearly articulated that in your message to me. And so I'm kind of assuming that you have told her that. And if not, certainly that would be a good place to start, is to get really specific with her about why it never worked for you. Despite the long-term wanting to make something work with men and women, how you finally figured it all out, because you just wrote it up so well in your message. You also articulated incredibly well insecurities around not having the clear security of a heteronormative binary experience. Yeah, well, isn't that the truth? It's so interesting to find yourself really considering all these open-minded things and different types of relationships, different rules, different boundaries, different foundations, and yet still reacting quite a bit to those rules that normally apply to the heteronormative binary experience. Absolutely. You know, toys, I don't know. I find myself sort of repeating things that I've said before in different podcasts, and if any of this helps, I'm glad, but toys are just toys. Toys are things to play with for a couple, no matter what gender you are, no matter what preferences you have. They're just something to enhance the experience. And I think it's a mistake to give them all kinds of exaggerated importance because of the shape of them. I mean, there's a tendency to say, okay, you know, the dildo is like not happening here because it looks like a guy, right? Well, you can get ones that look like tubes too, because what it really comes down to is that you love anal stimulation. You totally love it. And that's awesome. Whether that anal stimulation happens with a toy that looks like a penis or not is up to you guys. So it might help her to feel a little more okay with that if it doesn't. That's one thing. Also, depending on how you feel about it, it might be a good in-between stage that might feel a little bit more secure for her to take that toy and use it by hand as opposed to the actual act of strapping it on. Sometimes there is a reaction from a woman, no matter how she identifies as queer or whatever, to strapping it on and having that I'm a male now, or I can be seen as a male now, or this is going to affect my femininity, or all of those different things can be of a concern. this might be of a concern to her because this act of strapping it on would be more fully mimicking or replicating, whatever way you want to say it, your experience with men, which is the part that she's a little insecure about. So fine, have her use it with a hand for a while. You know, let her gain confidence that you know your sexuality well enough to make these statements of what you like and what you don't, and that you have no intention of going back to men at this point because you figured it out. But give her time, and I like that you say that you've been really patient with her because that's important. The other information that may help is the whole point about prostates being as sensitive as G-spots. I'm wondering if she knows that information, that you can receive as much pleasure and multi-orgasmic ecstasy, if you will, by anal pleasure as she can if she does get G-spot pleasure from the G-spot stimulation. Information is a really good thing, and information can sometimes really help someone understand why you, as a man, are so motivated to have this. And I know that it's more than that. It's not just a physical thing. It sounds like with you it's somewhat of an emotional thing as well. But that information about how stimulating, how pleasurable, how amazing it can be for you might be something that's good for her to hear as well if she has not heard that. And let's see if I can think of anything else. I'm going to add a little bit about the whole toy thing. Toys are things to be used and cast off when you're done. The toy will end up on the floor by the side of the bed, and you will end up with the person that you are with, cuddling and connecting and sleeping and breathing together. Toys do not replace a person. They never replace a person. They are capable of adding a lot of pleasure to sexual interactions because we as humans are limited in a number of ways that they just are what we are. And so toys give us the ability to play around with that in a lot of lovely ways, whether it's fucking longer, bigger, smaller, different genders, vibrations wherever you want them. I mean, there's so many things that toys can do. And I believe that they should just be looked at as that. They're toys. They're for fun. They're to be used. They're to be enjoyed and have a really good time and not place all of this intense importance on what gender they represent. So, yeah, wanted to get that extra little bit in there about toys. They don't replace people. They're to have fun. So, other than that, I don't think I have anything else to add. I'm glad you found me on Sex Nerd Sandra. That was such a fun podcast to do with her. She's an amazing woman. Oh my gosh, she's so fun. That was a really exciting experience for me, and I'm glad you found me in that way. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And please feel free to write back and let us know how it goes. Good luck to you, sir. Okay, here's the next one. Love your website. Love your podcast. I'm trying to add another weapon to my arsenal. Oh my gosh, there's that word again. I already have a glass Pyrex. Not in the mood for that one all the time. I have a lower quality, cheaper silicone. I love your suggestions about Vicks skin. I am torn between the different models. I like the Johnny in purple because it has the balls. I love dildos with balls. My wife makes me suck it before I get it. It adds some pleasure to suck the balls, too. I also like the Leo in purple because it has the suction cup. However, no balls. The Mustang is awesome in the tie-dyed color. Also, considering the Raquel, it seems to be made specifically for men. I'm torn between these four models. I'm thinking I'm leaning more towards the Johnny with the balls. What do you think? Any suggestions or recommendations on any of these? So for those not in the know, Vixen Creations is an awesome dildo site. So let me take this apart and talk to you about each one that you're considering here. The Raquel you mentioned is made specifically for men, and I would have to disagree with that, actually. What it's made for is specifically to be an unrealistic dildo. The other thing that it does is it is made out of Vixskin. Now, the difference between the Vixskin and the regular silicone dildos made by Vixen Creations is that Vixskin is the one that is supposed to seem more realistic. And what it does is it has a solid inner core and a softer outer core. The Raquel has that. The Raquel also has a suction cup base, but it does not have the balls. And dude, I could hear you wanting the balls. I really could. So the Raquel is got the soft stuff. It depends on how much pressure you like on your prostate, whether you like firmer toys or softer toys. And it's got the unrealistic aspect to it, which is something that you and your partner might like. I kind of doubt it because you're talking about the balls. So moving right along, you mentioned the Mustang. So the Mustang is also Vixskin with an interesting variety of colors. And I had no idea that they made a tie-dye one called Tie Bright. That's hysterical. The Mustang is a little bit thicker, a little bit shorter. It absolutely looks a hell of a lot more like a dick. It doesn't say that it has a suction cup base. And once again, it has no balls, right? Because I'm still stuck on the balls thing. It is Vixskin, and I should mention at this point that the Vixskin dildos that are for sale at Vixen Creations are actually, they have a lifetime warranty. Yeah, beat that one, man. Beat that. So anyway, moving right along from the Mustang, we come to the Leo. Now, the Leo is the same width as the Mustang, but it's a half an inch, longer. And it's not Vixskin. The Leo is a regular silicone dildo, so it's not going to have that soft touch to it, the softer outer core and the solid inner core. And just in terms of talking about measurements, the Raquel is actually sort of the longest and thinnest. It's 7.5 inches long, but it's only 1.5 inches in diameter. And the other toys that you're looking at are 1.625, 1.75. So take that into consideration as well. The Leo has a lovely suction cup and sticks to the wall, you know, the shower wall, the counter, whatever, quite well. I have a Leo. I really enjoy it. I think it's an excellent choice for a great sort of slightly bigger than medium sized dildo. And the one that I have is white with silver glitter inside, so I call it my glitter dick. It's pretty awesome. But it does not have balls, and it does not come in Vixskin, so these are things to take into consideration. This brings us to the Johnny. The Johnny is made both in regular silicone and Vixskin. It's got the longer length. It's not as long as the Raquel. It's 7 inches long, and it's 1.75 inches in diameter, which is comparable to the other ones that are slightly, or, you know, around the size you're looking at, 1.75 inches, 1.625. The Vixskin has the balls. And I don't know, from your message, you know, I ran down this whole list and talked about each one, but the way that you talk about the balls, I'm thinking that that's what you want. I have a Vixskin Johnny. Sadly, I have not been able to use it yet. But I have to say, it's a really nice toy. And it also sells in the regular silicone, so you get to decide whether you like that firm feel of a toy on your prostate or whether you really like something a little bit more subtle and softer. Because that would be the difference. And it's not just your prostate. It's actually the whole rectal area, you know, how does that feel? A firmer toy versus a softer toy. Which do you like better? That would be how I would make the decision. In researching this, it was pretty cool to be reminded of the fact that the Vixskins have a lifetime warranty. Is that the most unbelievable thing ever? A fucking lifetime warranty on your sex toy. That is just pretty damn cool. So thanks for the reminder. I hadn't been to Vixskin website in some time. I do have several of their toys, and I love them. So let us know what you get, and let us know how it goes. Okay, next letter. I listened to your special interview podcast when going to a pro, and it brought back some amazing memories. I was first introduced to pegging through a Tantra massage provider who provided both aspects of light and dark Tantra. This was back almost 10 years. She was an incredible person who had a wonderful touch. I went to her at first for the Tantra massage, which was amazing. And then gradually, she introduced me into light bondage, and then knowing that I liked my ass and anus massaged, suggested that I try. Just listening now to your discussion on massage therapists to enjoy a dildo. It was all so sensual. After a year of going a few times, we would have a 45-minute Tantra massage with breathing, and then it would slide from light into darkness of a blindfold, wrist and ankle restraints, sensation play, massage, and pegging. She was an incredible body worker who brought me into a whole new world of edging and pleasure. Ooh. Thank you. Thank you for telling me that. That was a great story. As much flack as I know that massage therapists would love to give me for having any kind of combination between sexual play and professional massage, I think sometimes that the fact is that massage therapists are so good at bodies and pleasure that they make really, really good sex workers. And I loved your description of the lighter and the darker aspects. That's an interesting way to describe that. I've never heard of it, and it seems really apt. And I am right there in the back and forth, the light and the dark. I am with you there. Sounds like you had a lovely time. Okay, here's the next one. Hello, Ruby. My wife already gives me prostate massages, but I want her to be getting massaged too. What strap-on do you recommend and what kind of harness? Whoa, that's such an open-ended question. I suggest, sir, that you go to my website under the Frequently Asked Questions where it says, what is the best dildo and what is the best harness? Because there are all kinds of things to take into consideration. I do notice that you say, I want her to be getting massaged too. My first question would be, does she want it? How does she feel about it? Is she fine pegging you without the being massaged, or is she wanting stimulation herself as well? That would be the place that I would start. I mean, other things to take into consideration are whether she derives most of her pleasure from G-spot or clitorally or both, because then you're going to be deciding which dildo to use. Whether she's brand new at this and you are both brand new at this, and there's the learning curve to be taken into consideration, in which case I wouldn't recommend a double, which will massage her, as you put it, because it's an advanced toy and she really needs to figure out how to do the pegging first. If she's already done that and she's expressed a desire to explore some new toys that could potentially help her to orgasm too, then you're looking at the doubles and vibe or not, whether she likes vibrations on her clitoris or whether she would just have the G-spot stimulation. I mean, there's so many decisions to make. Go read that Frequently Asked Questions and see if you have any other questions after that, and then write me back, sir, and tell us how it goes and what you end up getting. Okay, here's the last, not the last one, it's the next to the last one. Let's see. Something to add to the personal question file for the next time you let us peer behind the ruby curtain. Number one, regarding pegging as something you do for as opposed to, are you in the do to camp? Does that mean you would not be interested in a partner that it was in the do for camp? In other words, despite the pegging, does there need to be an element of dominance and submission to trip the ruby wire? Number two, are you a size queen? Meaning you would be more aroused or receive greater enjoyment from pegging a man with a larger girth, length, or both, dildo, than from a smaller dildo. Does pushing up against or beyond a partner's boundaries give you an added kick? So you are wanting to peer behind the ruby curtain. Okay, here's the answers to those questions. The first one, I think that I'm pretty solidly in the do-to camp. not as a necessarily mandatory dominance and submission thing, but I do think that the way that I approach pegging is with a tremendous amount of confidence and knowledge and ease, I guess is the word. So I think that I approach it more like a man, because I just want to get in there and do it. Do I do it to a guy? Absolutely. But does there have to be dominance and submission? No. No, definitely not. I can be without that. Is it something that I prefer all the time, is to be without the dominance and submission part? No, it's fun for me to play with the dominance. I really enjoy it. And I like a man who is submitting to me. But it's not mandatory every time. I think that the ability to go into that territory is mandatory for the man that I hope to spend the rest of my life with. But that's the end of that question. Am I a size queen? You know, I have a lot of respect for the fact that all men's asses are different in terms of what they can handle. So it's not a specific size that turns me on, but you nailed it when it's the, does pushing up against the boundaries give me an added kick? A little bit, sure. I like a partner who will try very hard to accept what I would like to give him, but I'm quite realistic about how much experience he's had, how much he can take, how tight he is. It's more the reaction that I enjoy than the specific size itself. It is more pushing up a little bit against the boundaries. That absolutely gives me the added kick. You're right. You're right about that one. So, welcome to Behind the Ruby Curtain. Thanks for the questions. Okay, here's another one. Finally, a letter from a woman. Yay, yay, yay. Finally, a letter from a woman. Yay. Okay, here we are. I am glad I found your blog. You described so accurately how I feel about pegging. More men and women should try it. It is so amazing to see your man in that vulnerable position and to be able to give him so much pleasure. I think, above all, what is most important is that trust and communication are maintained as top priority in a situation like this. I understand how much it takes for a man to give his ass up. It is a delicate matter, especially at first. Frankly, I find it adorable in so many ways. I feel empowered as a woman as well. It is a liberating experience. Funny thing is that I never even thought about doing it. It just stemmed from a lot of experimenting. If you have a partner with an open mind that respects you and trusts you and vice versa, the adventures you'll end up having together will be priceless. Wow, that sounds so amazing. It sounds like you guys have quite a good relationship. And that's one of the things that I emphasize over and over again is really good communication. And obviously, entering into anything as delicate as pegging takes a lot of trust. But I totally agree with you that it is a very delicate matter, especially at first. Thanks for writing in. And I'm glad that we see the same way on pegging and that you enjoyed all the information that you found there. Okay, let's go. Let's close for this podcast with talking about donations. Once again, I am totally humbled. You guys are so generous. I'm kind of floored. Once again, because I know I used that word last time. Okay, in the land of donations, first of all, we have Jim, who gave a very generous contribution of $100. We know Jim from back in podcast 11 and 18, and we heard about this gentleman's first pegging adventures. Jim's a longtime listener, and he sent in that very generous contribution of $100. Thank you so much to Jim. Tim and Stephanie, we heard about at the beginning of this podcast, they sent in $50, and if any of you listeners know them out there, this is your icebreaker. Tim and Stephanie, thank you for your generous contribution. And last but certainly not least, Greg for $50 as well. His comment was, thanks for all that you do, and you are so welcome, Greg, and thank you for your generous contribution. That brings me up to a grand total of $575 of the $1,000 I was hoping to raise for this trip. And just as a reminder, anybody who makes a donation of $50 or more, I will give you a free 1 year subscription to the I Want It All of My Erotica. So you can support me and you can be reading erotica at the same time. You get everything that's in the archives, all of the audio versions of the stories that I have recorded audio versions for, as well as one story a month for an entire year. Let's see, other ways that you can support me are, I have affiliate links up, finally. After all of this time, I finally have a little bit of advertising on my website. Now, I've made some really careful decisions regarding that because we have all been to websites like that and they're no fun, especially the ones that have all kinds of advertising that moves and distracts and, oh, I hate it. But I have been in the business long enough. I have come to know the players, and I know which companies are reputable. I know which companies that I would stand behind unquestionably. And these are the people that I have up for my affiliate links. So anytime you're thinking about buying toys through or made by these people, you can go through the affiliate links I have on my website. I have one for Tantus. I have one for Aneros, of course. And I also have one through my sex toy home party business that covers all kinds of brands of the very best toys that there are. So that is not just a sex toy home party business. It is also a buy it online business. So if you're looking to buy things like the Enjoy toys or the Lilo toys or all kinds of different stuff, you will be able to find it there. If you would like to support my work, you can go through that link, which is called Entice Me, and you can buy things through there, and I'll make 25%, so that will definitely help me out. Okay, commercials are over. Let's see here. Let's do the closing. You can leave your questions at 805-500-6544. 805-500-6544. The reason I started laughing is because I realized that I did not put in the recorded orgasm. I actually have one recorded orgasm from a guy, and to be quite honest, I have not recorded mine, even though I know I have at least one listener reader who is anxiously waiting for that because he was the one to suggest it on a comment on my blog, and I'm so sorry to disappoint you, sir. But I am going to wait until next time to play the recorded orgasm, mostly because I don't have mine recorded yet and because it's going to take a little bit too much time, and I think I have delayed getting this podcast out for quite some time, so I'm just going to whip it up there, save the orgasms for next time. I'll be storing them up. Okay, so you can leave your questions and stories and what have you and your orgasms at 805-500-6544. You can follow me on Twitter at Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page and a profile. On the page, if you can give me a thumbs up, that'd be awesome. My blog has sexy pics. It's got stories. It's got all kinds of things that you will not find in my podcast. You can subscribe to that if you like. And my podcast is available on iTunes as well as being listened to directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. If you have any friends who actually are open to speaking about pegging and you have talked to them about it and you would like to introduce them to it and they're interested and you suspect that they are probably more along the lines of maybe not real kinky, please send them to pegging101.com because that is the website that I have just strictly informational stuff on. So that's a good place to send the vanilla people, if you will. And if you get it from iTunes, my podcast, rate the podcast and write me a cool review, that'd be totally awesome. And thank you, as always, from the bottom of my heart from the end of my pen, from my fingers that touch the keys and write, and all of that. Thank you for downloading and listening. Happy pegging, everyone.